Good evening, everybody. Just tell the person next to you, you're in the right place tonight. Let's just bow our heads and pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you that you blessed tonight. Tonight is a blessed night already because you are here. And we are here, Father God, to visit with you and sit at your feet and listen to your voice. I pray, Father God, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will bring joy to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. It's good to be back this morning. My wife and I, my family went somewhere else, and it's good to be back. While we worshiped, I just sensed that, you know, tonight, like I said earlier, is the right place to be. And the message tonight is, hallelujah, I have a problem. Or praise God for problems. Sounds weird. But before I start there, I just need to go back to Genesis 1, where God says the following. Let's create man in our image, in our likeness. Okay, that was the first part. I call it the creation sandwich. Where God says, let us create man in our image. That's the first part, the sandwich part. And then the bottom part is, and let them go and multiply, become productive, rule, and then have dominion over wherever they are. But then there's something in the middle that actually makes the sandwich. It says, and God blessed them before he sent them out. So every one of us who are here tonight, if you're in Malmesbury, if you're in this vicinity, you were sent by God to multiply, to be productive, to have dominion, and God has sent you. Why then are we talking about problems? Because through problems, God glorifies what he has sent to do. Tonight, brothers and sisters, read with me in Acts 27, verse 21 to 26. Acts 27, verse 21 to 26. Hallelujah for problems. Thank you, God, that we have problems. So verse 21, it's on the screen. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the Lord, to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood before me and beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. So let's start with the definition of what a problem is. Very, very simple definition. Definition of problems, if we define a problem, it's the next slide, is a disconnect or a mismatch or a difference between what we want and what we have. A problem can be defined that whatever I have is not what I want or is not enough. Then it becomes a problem. If everything that we want, we have it at the moment, we don't have a problem. So there's a disconnect. There's a difference between what I want and what I have. The moment I experience that in my life, I have a problem. So, brothers and sisters, when we have that disconnect, there is normally an effect on us, right? So problems, when we don't have what we want or we feel dissatisfied with what we have, that problem has got an effect on us. And problems, and this is the first thing that I want to share with you tonight. Whenever we have a problem forces our hearts as a Christian to recalibrate. Problem forces our hearts to recalibrate. Let me just talk about calibration quickly. You know, if you have a scale or something to measure the weight of something on, that scale must be calibrated correctly to give you the right reading. If the scale is off, we need to take it in and it must be recalibrated. So whenever a problem comes into our lives, God uses that problem to recalibrate. To check out if our calibration is still okay. To check out if our focus and if our intentions are still what God created them to be.
So problems forces our hearts as a Christian to recalibrate. I'll just say something about it quickly. The scripture says in verse 23, Acts 27, last night, this is Paul's words, last night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me. Listen to the words. Listen carefully. It's on the screen. Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me. Before I continue, let me provide some context here. Paul was in court in Jerusalem. He came before all the people and they sent him on a ship to Rome, Italy, to stand trial before the Roman Empire. So Paul was between court cases. Yeah. He was a prisoner in a ship bound under, that's a big ship, okay? The ship is about 276 men on the ship, carries grain. So all the prisoners were below deck and they were bound. Paul, an angel of the Lord, appeared to Paul the previous evening and said, as he said, the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me. Now when we have problems, I'll come back to Paul just now. Our natural reaction, you know, when something happens and we don't like it, our natural reaction is the following. We respond through doubt. You know, I start doubting stuff. The second thing that happens is there's anxiety. I become anxious. Normal response to problems. The third one is we become uncertain, right? Because I'm faced with a problem, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle it. That is the normal response. Check out Paul's response. That's why I say hallelujah for problems. Paul said the following, because he had a calibrated heart. Just check what Paul said. Paul said, listen here, the God whom I serve, to whom I belong. Let me say that again. Paul says, the God to whom I belong and who I serve. He's not talking about the problem. His perspective is my identity in Christ Jesus. Everything around us, you know, is rough. We're going to die. That's what the people said. Everyone was scared. They were anxious. There was doubt, uncertainty. God says, stop. I'm not looking at the problem. My perspective is I'm looking for from the perspective of the God that made me, that sent me. So my identity in Christ is always the start when I'm confronted with a problem. A calibrated heart. How do I know that that Paul's heart was right? Because Paul says, because of my identity in Christ, I look at this differently than all the men on the ship. Paul says, because of my position, have courage. He was in chains below deck. His situation was not good. But he said, because of God who sent me, my identity in Christ will take me through this storm. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, I did a bit of research, did a bit of Bible study, and I checked what Paul did even if there were no problems. Check the first verse, Colossians 1 verse 1. Paul starts this letter to the Colossians. He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. He starts talking to the Colossians by saying that. I found something else that is equally interesting. Ephesians 1 verse 1. He starts the letter to the Ephesians. He says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. So a calibrated heart, a heart that is right with God, it doesn't depend on the circumstances that you're in. Even if it's going well, I'm a servant of God. If it's not going well, I'm a servant of God. If it's going well, I belong to God. That is a calibrated heart. So when we are confronted with problems, the first thing that happens, our hearts get checked out. Why is that? Because the Bible says, out of the heart flows all the issues of life. If your heart is not calibrated, if your heart is not connected, we have a problem. Apollo 12 is a ship that was launched a few years ago, quite a few years ago. And the famous words, Houston, we have a problem. Now, this Apollo 12 was launched. I just want to make the analogy quickly. Apollo 12 was launched. And while it was in the air, it was struck by lightning. And the people, the astronauts in the plane, in that ship, they phoned control center. They said, hello, guys, we have a problem. All we see are red lights and orange lights, and we don't know what to do. And the commander at Cape Canaveral asked them one question. Are you still on course to where we sent you? And they said, yes, we are. The commander replied, if you are still on course, we can deal with the red and orange lights later. We need to make sure that we are where God sent us to. If our hearts are calibrated, we can still deal with the red lights and the orange lights and all the other stuff. We can deal later. Is your heart right before God tonight? I want to take this a step further. I want to start by saying, whenever a problem, and this is just something that I want to share quickly. Whenever a problem is on this level, the problem was created here, very few times that problem that was created on that level can be solved on that level. Many times when we want a solution, we have to move to the next level in order to deal with the one on this level. Let me give you an example. When kids fight, and they can't solve the problem, what do? They call mommy or daddy. In other words, they go to another level to solve that problem. So tonight I want to share with you three things that a calibrated heart leads to the following results. When our hearts or our spirits are right with God, we encounter or encourage the following things. And we all get it. We get it from the scripture in Acts 27. The first thing that happens when problems come, it forces. Next slide. Thank you. When problems come, it forces an increase in knowledge. If we encounter a problem, it means that the knowledge that we have at this moment might not be enough to deal with what is coming or what is happening. Verse 21, Paul says the following. Listen carefully, brothers. This is a prisoner. There was a lot of people on that boat. He was the lowest of them all. He said, verse 21, not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. It's amazing when we encounter a problem, how God comes and he elevates our information. How he elevates our knowledge about what is happening. And in trouble, divine impartation takes place. Praise God. When we encounter problems, we experience divine impartation. Because Paul said in verse 23, last night an angel stood next to me. Divine impartation, divine influence comes into our situation. Because there's a problem, God can now increase or send in or increase our knowledge. How many times, brothers and sisters, were we in trouble and we had nowhere to go? All our taps were closed. The friends that I used to talk to, I can't talk to them anymore because they don't know what to do. The only thing that will take us to that higher level of knowledge is when God divinely comes in there and does something. God gives us a word, a song, and he gives us a vision to sustain us through that trouble. While I was preparing, I thought about a situation many years ago from my personal life. In 1999, I totally believed God told me to resign. I was a matric teacher at that time, and I resigned. I waited for a word from the Lord and there was nothing, right? So I resigned. I walked away from education and I started working for an NGO, a non-government organization, where I didn't get any salary at all. It was a year and a half later after I left education by faith and nothing happened. everything went upside down. Every single thing. So I was, you know, I asked God, okay, what is this? What is happening? Please talk to me. And I didn't hear a thing for months. But at that time, my relationship with God was at a totally different level. It was so deep. But he said nothing about my situation. Not a thing. And you know what? I was at this NGO one night, and I drove home, and I trusted God. I want, Father God, I just want to get home because I believe my petrol is not enough to take me home. And I don't have money to fill up my tank. So I took the car, I drove to where I stayed. I got there, went into my room, and I started praying, and I was fed up. And that night, God showed me a vision. This is important. God showed me a vision, not of my current situation, but he took me to my future. And he showed me my future right in front of my eyes. And you know why God did that? Because the thing is, God sustains us, not our work. We don't get our security from a salary from somebody. We get our security, we get our assurance from God, who is in charge of our lives. In times of trouble, God will elevate you to see stuff that you haven't seen before. When we are in trouble, we can keep hold of what he did for us in the past. It's not just about now. It's not about what he shows you, the increase in knowledge. But brothers and sisters, he also reminds you of what he brought you through in the past. That is why we have testimonies. In troubled times, we are open to receive from God's Spirit because we have tried everything else. Remember the guys on the shuttle, Apollo 12? They could not turn back. They had to deal with the problem. And they got to where they went to. First thing, calibrated heart leads to an increase in knowledge. Secondly, when our hearts are right with God and we are in trouble, it leads to an increase in responsibility. Troubled times or problems always leads to an increase in responsibility. Let's go back to the word. In verse 24, Acts 27, verse 24 says, the angel told Paul, you must stand trial before Caesar in Rome. Remember what I said earlier? He came from a trial. He was on his way to the next trial. So Paul says, guys, this ship can't go under. We can't die because I still have the responsibility to stand before Caesar. Just think about that for a moment here. He's in chains. He's in prison. He's being transported to another court case, and he knows beforehand that he's not going to win it. But God says, the problem is okay, because this problem will lead to an increase in responsibility. Responsibility actually means the ability to respond to something. Your problem is there because God wants you to respond to something else. We'll get there now. There's an increase in responsibility. You need to respond to now, the ship situation. You have to deal with your problem. But there's a yellow piece that I need just now. It says, when I am taking responsibility, I am committed to solve today's problem. But I'm also focused on God's ultimate plan. So if there's a problem in my life, I need to deal with it now, with the problem. But at the same time, my focus is also on what God wants to do through this. Romans 28, very, very important thing here. It says, we need to be transformed into the image of God, image of Christ. The verse just before says, everything works together. Or all things work together for what? for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Brothers and sisters, I've got good news. Hallelujah for problems. Because when a problem comes, the thing is, while I deal with it, I'm also being transformed into the image of Christ Jesus. All problems are either God sent or God used. All problems are either God sent or God used. So there is a reason why you have a problem in your life. Your household, your family, your workplace, your church. I want to ask you a question. Have we started solving problems by being useful? Okay. I'm the father of a beautiful family. My wife is sitting over there. I've got two daughters. God made me responsible to be their leader, to lead them in what he wants us to become. So we need to deal with now, but in the same time, we're being transformed. Why are you working where you're working? What were you placed there for? What are you responsible for? Because we are at our workplace, we are not just responsible for doing the math or working on a computer or doing whatever. We have been placed there because God has increased our responsibility to bring people towards him. And he's going to use problems to get you there. If there's a problem at work, hallelujah for this problem. Because it will increase my knowledge and it will increase my responsibility. The third thing, and the more I continue, I'm almost done, it becomes a bit more difficult. Increase in knowledge, increase in responsibility, and the third thing that happens, a calibrated heart like Paul's leads to an increase in accountability. Verse 24, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. It took me a while to get my head around this. A prisoner below deck, after many days on the sea and they know they're going to die, the prisoner who was the lowest is elevated to the highest. The angel of God told Paul, he said, Paul, I've given everyone on this ship, I've given to you. Wow. That is amazing. Through a single problem, God elevates Paul through his spirit. He elevates him to be the accountable person. Now, when you account, accountability means the ability to account to what you've done to people. So Paul is now in charge. He is the person. Everyone on the ship is looking at Paul. What should we do? Problems, trials, and tribulations causes our elevation to benefit those close to us. We are never elevated in accountability for ourselves. It's always with the people around us in mind. Elevation is never for us. It's for the glory of God. Your position, wherever you are, if your heart is calibrated, you might have a lower position, but you are accountable to even those above you. Because God has elevated you through your problem. Trials are used to glorify God. That is why they are there. Secondly, we walk away with a witness of what he has done. Our most powerful witness comes from our deepest problem. Our most powerful witness is born through times of adversity and trials. I've got good news. There's also a bonus effect. Three things I shared with you already. There's an increase in knowledge, an increase in responsibility, and an increase in accountability. This is the bonus effect of problems. The Malta miracle. Now, if you want to, you can do it afterwards. But in the next chapter, this ship in which Paul is and everybody else, The ship finally grounded, I don't know, stranded. Right. So now everyone on the ship, no one died, not one person. Now normally when the ship, you know, then they have to kill the prisoners. But no one touches Paul. All of them went off to the island. The island is called Malta in Greece. And you know what? There's a snake that bit Paul, and everyone thought he was going to die. Right? Just shook the snake off. And then they thought he was a god. But listen carefully. While Paul was there, remember, he wasn't sent to Malta. He was sent to Rome. So he's still on his way that God has chosen for him. He's not there yet. I call this the unintended miracles. So what happened was, in Malta, you know what happened, brothers and sisters? He met an important person on the island, spent some time with him. While he was there, he found out that someone in the house was sick. So what did Paul do? He laid hands on the sick, and the person recovered. And they brought the whole island sick to Paul. And Paul prayed for all of them, and they were all healed. Just imagine. Still on his way to Rome, he encounters Malta. We should not get so entangled in our problems and dealing with them that we don't see the Malta miracle in the people around us. Malta miracle. That's in Acts 28, 7 and 8. God always has Malta in mind with Paul still on the ship. God always had Malta in mind while Paul was still on the ship. Let me encourage you tonight, ladies and gentlemen. If you have a severe problem at the moment while you're dealing with it, something else God is working without you even knowing it. In people close to you. When they left Malta, when they left Malta, they were blessed with provisions and everything else because of Paul having a calibrated heart. Another bonus effect of problems. I want you to take this home with you. God wastes nothing. This is a principle. God wastes nothing. Romans 8, 28. And we know that God, that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. We have been called according to his purpose. But let me share another scripture with you. Matthew 14, 20. 5,000, feeding of the 5,000. What happened? After they were fed, they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Question: why would people pick up bread if everyone have eaten already? Because that's the way God works. No one tells us what happens to the 12 baskets. It's nowhere mentioned again. But brothers and sisters, this is the principle. Whatever happened in your life up to now, it was done for a purpose. Every single thing. All the people that you've met. And even if it was meant for harm, God will use it for good. Every single thing. You can go back. There is nothing that happened in your life ever that is not going to be used by God. God wastes nothing. So if there was a problem that you could not overcome, or that you could not deal with, or that you dealt with, God has a plan for that particular problem. We need to know that God wastes nothing. I want to do the final slide, Deval, and then I'm done. Let me quickly. And we all know the scriptures. And James, this is the one that we normally quote when we talk about problems. James 1, verse 2 and 3. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kind. For you know, emphasis on the word, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Hallelujah for problems. Hallelujah for difficult times, trials and tribulations. Because the problem or what I'm going through will lead to being perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If my heart is calibrated right. Finally, 1 Peter 5 verse 10. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. All trials, all tribulations, all problems is an instrument through which God can be glorified. Everything works to the good of those who God loves and who has called according to his purpose. If you are facing a problem tonight, praise God. If you are facing a problem tonight, praise God. Because you will increase in knowledge. You will increase in responsibility. And you will increase in accountability. Because God will use this for his glory. Let's just bow our heads tonight. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you are here. And I know, Father God, that you have spoken to our spirits. And I pray that our hearts will be encouraged tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. We refuse to be anxious. We refuse to look around fearfully. And Father God, while we go through this, we give you honor and we give you glory. Everything that we do, Father God, and everything that happens in our lives is for your glory. Thank you, Father, that tonight we can just recalibrate our hearts. We can just tune our hearts in with you, Father God, and come to the place where what you want in our lives happens on a daily basis, continually, in Jesus' mighty name. We honor you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.